Good evening.
Good evening.
Certainly appreciate the singing we've had today. It's good when those young men get up here and lead singing, isn't it? And we're thankful for them. Appreciate you so much for being here this evening. We started talking this morning about excuses that will not be excused. And we noted that everyone makes excuses. And we certainly all have made excuses a time or two or time or many. And sometimes we get away with some bad excuses. We talked about some of those work-related excuses that folks get away with. And I read one stat where 29% of employees have admitted that they were well when calling in sick. That's about 30%. And so they certainly admitted that, and maybe we could even possibly find ourselves among that number if we're not careful when it comes to making excuses. But I also thought about, as I was thinking about excuses this week, I was thinking about, boy, I tell you, people make excuses even with the gospel. People make excuses with God. And there are going to be a lot of folks who are going to be making excuses on the judgment. And yet none of those excuses will be excused. There will be no excuse that a man can offer for why he did not come to Christ. No legitimate excuse. No legitimate reason, I should say. For all will be excuses when they stand before God. To not receive the salvation that he has given in Christ Jesus, there'd be no excuse. There'd be no reason a man, woman, boy, or girl can offer. And so I got to thinking about this invitation that was extended, and even Christ, while he was here in this life, met with those who were making excuses for not following him. Those who were making excuses for not having accepted his invitation, but then when it was time for the kingdom, time for the marriage, when it was time for the feast, they began to make excuses. And we found that that was an absolute insult to the one who had invited. They gave no regard to the preparation that was made on their behalf. They gave no regard to the time of the feast and simply began to make excuses with things that was not even worthy to be compared with the event to which they were invited. And so I was wondering what kind of excuse would people offer today for not having come to the kingdom? And I thought about the fact that if you had to write a note to God, imagine having to write a note to Jesus. And maybe they would look something like this. To King Jesus, please excuse me for not coming to your kingdom because I am waiting on the Holy Spirit. So have me excused. Holy Spirit hasn't shown up yet. There are folks that teach that the Holy Spirit has to work on you, that the Holy Spirit has to work on your heart and touch you and move you in order for you to obey. And so some folks say, well, I'm waiting on the Holy Spirit. He hasn't shown up yet, so that's the reason why I'm not in the kingdom. Well, first of all, let me tell you something. That means it's the Holy Spirit's fault. Now, how could God blame you for something that belongs to the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit never showed up to touch you, to nudge you, to move you to salvation, then it would be the Holy Spirit's fault. Sincerely, failure to obey. I am waiting on the Holy Spirit. Some cite that this is the reason why they have not come to the gospel. Two things you need to note about the Holy Spirit in conversion. Notice the return. That when it comes to the Holy Spirit in your conversion, he invites to salvation through the gospel that he inspired. And so some folks are waiting on the Holy Spirit when in actuality they have what the Holy Spirit wants them to know in his word. That the Holy Spirit had actually revealed the invitation in Scripture. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And notice when you get there, verse number 13 and verse number 14.
But we are bound to give thanks always to God for So it sounds like they're going to be working in harmony one with another. Through sanctification of the Spirit, we know sanctification means to make holy, set apart. And belief of the truth. So it appears that we have God's side on one hand and we have man's side on the other hand. Through sanctification of the Spirit is what the Spirit does, and through belief of the truth is what man has to do. This kind of sounds like Ephesians 2, 8, 9, don't we? By grace through faith, it is God's part, his grace extended to man. Man's part is his faith in God, his belief in God, his trust in God, his obedience to God, and as a result of that, that's what brings man salvation. So man is completely wrong when he says that man cannot do one thing, he cannot add one whit to his salvation. Well, he better believe God. And if he doesn't add that belief and faith, that trust in God, then that man cannot be saved. God's grace might be extended, but if man doesn't respond in gospel obedience, he can't be saved. And so he says here that it is through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. But he says, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Let me tell you something. There was always going to be two classifications of people. There was always going to be two classifications of people. Man is a free moral agent, and he would be able to choose to which class he would belong. But there was always going to be two classifications of people. God created the world. Having created the world, he planned that he was going to save all men a certain way. That's what he planned. That's what he preordained. That salvation was going to come through Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus only. Now that would automatically separate man. That would automatically make two classes of people. Those who will be saved and those who will be lost, but the choice is going to be man's. He is going to get to choose. Now notice, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 7. Even in that passage, you will know that verse number 14, he says he saved us and called us by his gospel. That's what the Holy Spirit inspired. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and notice verse number 7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained.
Wait, Craig. What is the mystery? He said we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So he's noting for us the mystery obviously is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God that is spoken is the mystery before it was revealed. And so this is the gospel then before the gospel was actually revealed by Christ Jesus. So all of that time when the prophets were speaking and they had a little insight and they were looking toward and forward to some things, yet they did not have the complete revelation of God's plan, yet they were speaking some things. It was a mystery. It wasn't that it couldn't be understood. It just simply means it had not yet been revealed. So he said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Read, if you will.
Which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
There was always going to be two classes of people. Those who would obey Christ and those who would reject Christ. Those who obey would belong to one classification of people, and those who obeyed, those who reject would be the other class of people. Obviously, those who are lost. In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 5, Paul would say, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. There is the Spirit working to give those men this mystery, to reveal this mystery. In revealing the mystery, he is revealing the very wisdom of God that had been known from the creation of the world. So before the world was created, God already knew his plan. And man didn't know it. The angels didn't know it. They desired to look into it, but now it's being revealed, which means it wasn't something that couldn't be understood, but just simply something that was hid in God. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes on the scene and starts to reveal this mystery. And it will begin to unfold even greater when Jesus ascends back into heaven and sends the Holy Spirit for the work of inspiring the men to reveal all the mystery, to make it known unto all men. So Paul would say, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What is the mystery? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You waiting on the Holy Spirit, and yet the Holy Spirit is coming to you by the gospel. Paul said, whereof I was made a minister by the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold or many-sided wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus. Paul says, as a result of that, we can now come unto Christ with boldness and access in confidence through faith of Christ. My friends, when you think about this wonderful mystery, it's separated between those who would be saved and those who would be lost. This great mystery, once it was revealed, man had a choice. So God was not, when we talk about predestination, he was not predetermining that there would be certain individuals that would be saved, but he was predetermining the plan by which those individuals would be saved, but the choice to be saved would be left entirely up to the individual. So a man says that man has no wit, he cannot add anything to his salvation, he's truly missed it. And if man is waiting on the Holy Spirit, he's waiting on something that's never going to happen, because the Holy Spirit has already came and revealed this. And here's how he finds salvation. He is using the word of the gospel to invite you to salvation. When they obeyed the truth, they were placed in the category of those to whom God had chosen to be saved. How were they saved? They were saved by sanctification of the Spirit. Paul is referring to the work the Holy Spirit does in giving us God's word. Sanctification comes through the Spirit's truth. Jesus would say in John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Paul reveals also that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 17. So take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, he says, which is the word of God. It is clear from those two passages that the Spirit sanctifies. He actually makes holy through the instrumentality of God's word. So it's interesting how people have the word of God, the gospel is preached, that the Spirit inspired, and then they reject the gospel message and then say they're waiting on the Spirit. Paul declared the words he spoke were of the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and notice verse number 13. Paul says, which things
also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom
teaches. Wait, what is he speaking? He's speaking great, glorious truth. He's speaking that great, glorious gospel of truth that comes from the Spirit. He said, which things also we speak, not what?
Not in man's wisdom.
Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth.
Mm-hmm. But which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
None of the things of which Paul spoke was of his own origin. Did not come from the mind of Paul. Paul was teaching that which came from the Holy Spirit. In fact, in Galatians 1 and verse 11, as Paul would also prove his apostleship to those brethren, says, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, I got the revelation directly. Now, how did he get it? By Jesus sending the Holy Spirit to give it to him. By Jesus inspiring him through the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit would give him a direct revelation. So when he writes to the brethren in Ephesus, he says, if ye have heard of the gospel of the grace of God, which was given me to you were, brethren, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, he said, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul says, which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but what?
But which the Holy Ghost teaches.
Now, if the Holy Ghost is teaching this, what are you waiting on? You imagine someone writing God a letter asking to be excused for not coming to the kingdom because I was waiting on the Holy Spirit? And Paul is saying the Holy Spirit wrote this. The invitation is here by the Spirit. But this is why brethren get in trouble when they try to put this down and make the Holy Spirit doing something to them apart from it. He says, not that which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Ghost teaches, doing what?
Comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Paul reveals the doctrine of inspiration. When Peter writes in 2 Peter 1:20, 21, Peter said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This was not thought inspiration. Man didn't simply have the thought. He didn't have his own thoughts. What this was is the Holy Spirit gave them the words using their vocabulary, using their personalities. That's why Luke would write like a physician. That's why Paul would write in such a way that you would notice that it was a Pauline type of epistle because of the way he wrote. So you know the Holy Spirit could use those men's personality, but give them the very words that God wanted them to have. Utilizing all those things that they had. And yet every word of it would be from God. The Holy Spirit would guide them so that there'd be no mistakes. Paul reveals the doctrine of inspiration here. This is not of any private interpretation. The things he revealed in this message of the gospel came not from man, but only that which the Holy Spirit revealed from the very mind of God. There was only one who could search the mind of God and then give it to man. That was the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 and notice verse number 10.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
Uh-huh.
For the Spirit searches all things.
For the Spirit searches all things. All things of God. All things of the Father. Yea, the very deep things of God. All of his purposes, all of his designs, all of his counsels, all of his governments, all of those things pertaining to man's salvation, the Spirit has searched out in the very mind of God and then revealed them. No wonder Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. That's his work. So why is someone waiting on the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit has already searched into the mind of the Father and searched out all the deep things pertaining to us that we need for salvation and then delivered them to the apostles so that we can have it? So what you waiting on? You have what the Holy Spirit wants you to know. You have the invitation given by the Spirit. Keep reading.
For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God.
Absolutely. Boy, without what the Holy Spirit accomplished, we would be in the dark, wouldn't we? We could not know the mind of God unless he revealed it. And he revealed it to his Spirit so that the Spirit could reveal it to those men. Those men then could reveal it unto us through the Bible. Look at John 16:13.
It was the Spirit, Jesus said, who would guide those apostles into all the truth. Howbeit, when he,
the Spirit of truth, is come.
Notice, when the Spirit of truth is come, what will he do?
He will guide you into all truth.
He will guide you into all truth. Don't you want to know who is the you? He would guide the apostles, those men that was chosen of Christ, into all the truth. Read.
He shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear.
Who's going to hear? The Holy Spirit. Who's he going to hear from? Christ. Whatsoever Christ would reveal to the Holy Spirit will reveal to men. He will not speak of himself. This will not be about the Holy Spirit. He will not promote self. It will be about Christ, the preeminent one of the church. And the Holy Spirit, what he hears, he will teach. Doesn't that coincide with what he's saying? When the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So he won't make this about himself. But it'll be about Christ. And he will do what?
And he shall speak and he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come.
I'm waiting on the Holy Spirit. You know, when you're waiting on the Holy Spirit, here's something you ought to consider. Not only does the Holy Spirit invite through the Word, that's what we just proved. He invites through the Word. So the invitation given by the Spirit is right through this Word. The invitation given to the Spirit is right here in the truth that the Spirit revealed. The invitation given by the Spirit is that mystery that was in the Old Testament that the prophets really didn't know about. They desired, they wanted to know those things. They just had a shadow of those things. The angels wanted to know, and finally it was revealed to the angels by the church. It's through the church that they see the manifold or the many-sided wisdom of God. And yet here is the Holy Spirit searching in the very deep things of God and then revealing them unto men, giving us the gospel and inviting men to salvation by what God has revealed. And you're waiting on the Holy Spirit to do what? May I ask? To lead you to salvation? Well, it comes through here. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation unto all them that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save only in the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Galatians 6:14. Paul said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. The sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17, is the word of God. Seed of the kingdom, Luke 11:1, is the word of God. So, what else does man want to save him? If man accepts the gospel, he will accept the Spirit. If man accepts the gospel, he will accept Christ. If man accepts the gospel, he will accept the Father. Because the Spirit has searched out the deep things of God. Christ has sent the Holy Spirit to reveal him. The Holy Spirit has come and he has done his part in the scheme of redemption and revealed it, inspiring men with the message. And now all men by that message can be saved and become a part of what God predetermined before he created the world, that a select group of people were going to be saved by the means of the gospel. The mystery is now revealed. Secondly, he has promised to those who obey.
not to those who are waiting on him. That's interesting. You know, people say, well, I'm waiting on the Holy Spirit. Well, you get him when you obey. There's no promise to you before you obey. Notice, if you will, you know Acts 2:38. Then Peter said, and repent and be baptized, every one of you. But go to chapter 5. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But notice Acts chapter 5 and verse number 32.
And we are his witnesses
of these things. So the apostles obviously saw the resurrected Christ. So they saw him. They were witnesses of these things. They were witnesses of his glory. They were witnesses of his miracles. They were witnesses that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And certainly they affirmed that. But read.
And so is also the Holy Ghost.
And so also is the Holy Ghost, who actually gave those men the ability to perform the miracles, showing that he was with them. Who also was a witness. Come on, read.
Whom God had given to them that obey him.
Whom God had given to them that obey him. Paul writes to the Corinthians and said, know ye not that the Holy Spirit is in you, and ye are God's, and ye are not your own? So Paul was showing that the Holy Spirit was in those Corinthians, in the church. He is given to them that obey him. Now those who refuse to obey the gospel because they are waiting on the Holy Spirit will not be excused for that excuse. That's going to be a bad excuse to offer to the God of heaven. Why didn't you come to the kingdom? I was waiting on the Holy Spirit. Well, you're going to be waiting a long time. If you're waiting for the Holy Spirit to do anything to you apart from what the Holy Spirit has already done. If you're here tonight, you don't have to wait on the Holy Spirit. He's already come. And we have the evidence, not only in us as God's people, but also in the scriptures that has the power to save man's soul. But notice, it's through sanctification of the Spirit. He'll set you apart. He'll do his part. He'll set you apart for a godly service. He'll set you apart for good works. He'll set you apart unto Jesus Christ. He'll make you holy. But you're going to have to come through belief of the truth. So no wonder the Gentiles also came, as well as the Jew, by the gospel. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Are you willing to repent of your sins that sent Christ to the cross? He loved you enough to die for you. All you have to do is love him enough to live for him. And if you believe that he is Christ, the Son of the living God, are you willing to repent of your sins? Confess before witnesses that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then submit yourself to baptism. You'll be added to his church, to his body, and you'll receive the Spirit after you obey him. Not in a miraculous sense. We don't want you believing you're going to go out here performing miracles. But my friends, the grace of the Holy Spirit and his abiding influence, and through the word and adding the fruit of the Spirit and all of those things, my friends, the evidence of the Spirit will be in your life as you live for Christ. If you need to respond to this invitation, come as we stand and sing the invitation song.